Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13 in your Bibles, Acts chapter 13, and we are a church on a mission, and that's been our theme in 2019. We are a church on a mission. You pray in October is the month that the staff and people will be getting together and talking about what God has for 2020. But we're still pushing forward as a church on a mission, amen? And we're not going to stop being a church on a mission just because the year changes. And we need a church to be a church on a mission. And so what happens when a church is on a mission? Well, we're obeying God. Very simple, amen? In order to obey God, we got to humble ourselves. Get rid of our agendas. What we want, do what God wants. And we are a church on a mission. Thank the Lord for those who felt the urge to go out and put door hangers on. Let me tell you something. That's an uncomfortable thing. You say, how do you know? I walked 2.5 miles on Monday. And I was trying to keep up with Drew. You guys ought to try that one day. He's a fast hiker. Amen. Some of you teenagers can attest this after this week. John's like, he was all right. We wore him out Monday morning. That's why. But he's fast. And I was trying to keep up the hills and down the hills. Asheville is a tough place to go door to door. There's some hills. It's uncomfortable. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And we want to obey God. We're a church on a mission. I'm excited about what God has for Temple Baptist Church. But what a great testimony that Paul had. Paul and Barnabas were sent out as missionaries, and God is using them in a great way. Acts chapter 13 is a transition time. At the beginning, we talked about praying for our missionaries and how God has sent out missionaries out of the church. Now, God calls the missionaries, and the churches send the missionaries. He said, did you get that? Did you guys understand what I just said? What does that mean? That means I don't call missionaries. The church doesn't call missionaries. God calls missionaries. Mommy and daddy doesn't call missionaries. Sunday school teachers don't call missionaries. God calls the missionaries. And it becomes evident those that are called by God, those that are not called by God. When they get out on the field, those that are called by God continue. And we see Paul and Barnabas who are called by God continuing here. Now, I want to say this, and we're about to read. I want you to pick up on it while we're reading. When we are a church on a mission and we're moving forward in obedience to God, there will be criticism. I want you to understand that. There will be persecution. I want you to understand that. You say, why? It's consistent in the first church, and it's consistent today. Now, I want you to know we are not persecuted like they were back then. And I thank the Lord that God has given us an example. In Acts chapter 13, we pick up the story in verse 43. After they had just preached, it says, remember when Paul stood up with confidence and preached, they said, do you have anything to say? And Paul stood up, amen, and he started preaching. And verse number 43, now when the congregation was broken up, he finally ended the sermon. Many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't that be awesome? The whole city of Asheville attending Temple Baptist Church. I would enjoy having the lost people of Asheville coming and attending Temple Baptist Church. What a great opportunity they had. The whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, here it is, they were filled with envy. That's the same envy they had to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they wanted to put him up on the cross and crucify him. In Acts chapter 5, it was the same envy that the Sadducees and Pharisees had for the people of God preaching the Word of God. We see that envy coming back. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. What is he saying here? You are the ones that rejected this gospel, and now this gospel is changing lives. You now have envy. It was presented to you first as Jews. Now it's presented to the Gentiles. You rejected this gospel, and now you're envy of the impact of this gospel. Verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. I'm glad too, aren't you? Aren't you glad salvation is available to you? And thank the Lord it's available to our children and our children's children. It doesn't stop. Salvation is available to all mankind. And they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Praise God. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Boy, misery loves company, doesn't it? Misery loves company. They wanted to stir somebody else up. They went, and it said that they stirred devout and honorable women. And they stirred up the chief men of the city, the leaders. They were stirring up those that could make an impact, those that could do something about it. They were trying to stir them up. And it worked. They kicked Paul and Barnabas out of the city. But I want you to see the reaction in verse 51. They shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. What a thought. They were just kicked out of a city. They were preaching the word. They were just kicked out of a city that revival was taking place in. And they had joy. They had joy. And they continued. You say, Pastor Creed, I don't know if I can do that. Can you imagine how excited Barnabas and Paul were when the people began to accept Christ? Do you know how excited I get and you get when we see one person come to Christ? Through the efforts of Temple Baptist Church, through the efforts of other people and other churches, I just get excited when people get saved. Well, can you imagine as the multitudes were getting saved? The excitement that was building, and then they were kicked out. The message of the gospel went out to the Gentiles, and they were accepting the gospel. When you obey God, there will be criticism. When you obey God, there will be persecution. I want you to know that. Preaching the gospel is not easy. Preaching the gospel is not comfortable. But preaching the gospel is being obedient to God. In fact, because of the uncomforts of preaching the gospel, because of the criticism of preaching the gospel, many Christians cower away from preaching the gospel. In a Peanuts cartoon, Linus is curled up in a chair reading a book while Lucy stands behind him, a funny look on her face. Lucy then says, it's very strange. It happens just by looking at you. What happens? Linus said. Lucy calmly answers, I can feel a criticism coming on. I mean, have you ever been soul winning? You knock on the door and somebody answers that door and you look in their face and you just feel it. You could feel the criticism coming on. I remember going with Owen just about a month ago. And we knocked on somebody's house, And I was in the background praying for him. And I said, come on, Owen, let's go. This guy doesn't want anything. And Owen saw the criticism on his face. And Owen just kept on preaching the gospel. Amen. I was the one saying, hey, come on back, Owen. Come on back, Owen. He was the one going forward. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. But sometimes we can just see the criticism. Sometimes we just know it's going to happen. I just want to tell you, when you stand for Jesus Christ, you will be criticized. This school stands for Jesus Christ. We've just been recently criticized about it. Hey, what do? We continue. We keep going. All right, on a personal level. On a personal level, what should we do, Pastor Creed? How do I handle criticism? How do we put up with it? I want you to look at the last 51, verse 51. They've been kicked out of the city. They're standing there. What should we do? But they did what? They shook off the dust of their feet against them. What a great picture that is. They shook off the dust. That's what the criticism is. The dust. You say, Pastor, what are we going to do? We're going to shake it off and keep going. We're going to shake it off and keep going. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Green? How am I capable as a Christian? How can I shake off that criticism? Pastor Green, I just take everything personal. And how can, if somebody criticizes me for preaching the gospel and slams a door in my face, then how can I cope with that? How can I keep going? How can I shake that off? Three things we see in their life. They had the right concentration. They had the right concentration, didn't they? They were concentrated and focused on obeying Jesus Christ's last words. Those last words that were given. Before Jesus Christ went to heaven, after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he gave them a command. We call it the Great Commission. He commanded them to go and preach the gospel. Go and teach. Go teach, baptize, teach. Amen? You know what that first teach is? Teach them how to be saved. Then there's a step of baptism. Teach them the importance of following the Lord in believers' baptism. And then there's the teaching, the discipleship. I want you to know the Great Commission does not stop at salvation or baptism, but it continues through the whole life of a believer. Discipleship is a lifestyle, not a program, not a class. Discipleship is a lifestyle. And if your lifestyle is going to be the disciple of Jesus Christ, there will be criticism coming, but you can shake it off if you stay concentrated on what God has given you to do. Look at what they did. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to what? Continue in the grace of God. What were they concentrated on? The work that God has given to them. How many of us are so drawn away so many times away from what God has called us to do? There's so many things out there today that draw our attention away from what God has us to do. I mean, let's think about this for just a second. Where does God have you right now in your life? Where does he have you? Some of you are working and you have a job. And God has placed people around you that he wants you to lead to Christ. Would you think about that with me for a minute? Well, I thought God was just providing my need. I thought God was just, he is. But he placed you in a place where you can win others to Christ, where you can disciple others. There might be somebody that you work with that's a Christian, and they're away from God, and they need to be discipled, and God has put you there to be a disciple, to make disciples. Some of you, you're retired, or maybe you live in an area that needs a light. You are a light in that area, in that community, and God has placed you there for a purpose. Now do your job well. Be the best you can be. Be the best neighbor you can be. Be on time to work. Be the best worker they have. But understand, God has placed you there for a purpose. God has put us places for a purpose. And so many times we get away from that. We let Satan draw us away from the purpose God has for our life. Your obedience to Christ is leading others to obedience to Christ. Did you catch that? Your obedience to Christ is leading others to obedience to Christ. I want you to understand something. We must be a disciple making disciples. No Christian gets a pass on that. No Christian gets a pass on that. Let me ask you this. Who are you discipling? Who are you leading to the Lord? Who are you witnessing to? This is a challenging message even for me. Even for the Christians that are faithful in this service, faithful to this church, this is challenging to us. Why? Because discipleship is not comfortable. It's uncomfortable. Discipleship to us with the flesh is unnatural for the flesh. It's very difficult for us sometimes. But it's necessary to be obedient to God. And we must be disciples making disciples. Just before Easter in 2009, Fred Winters, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Maryville, Illinois, was shot and killed during a Sunday morning service by a disturbed young man. The community of the church was just torn about this incident. It shocked the pastor's family, but it did not destroy their faith. The next week, the newly widowed Cindy Winters was interviewed on a national news broadcast. When asked about her husband's killer, she said this, "I do not have any hatred or even hard feelings toward him. We have been praying for him. One of the first things that my daughter said to me after this happened was, you know, I hope that he comes to learn to love Jesus through all of this." What an attitude. What a spirit. An event has just rocked their world. But their agenda was to see this man saved. That's a great concentration. That's the concentration we should have. Sometimes tragedy comes. Sometimes it's the unexpected tragedy that knocks us off or out of God's will. We must continue to stay focused on what God has commanded us to do. Be disciples. Be disciples. Making disciples. That's what we need to be concentrated on. There's a lot of things that's going on at Temple Baptist Church. We have programs. We have ministries. But all those ministries and all those programs, they have a purpose. You say, what's the purpose? Making disciples. Making disciples. Making disciples. That's our purpose. That's our goal. Why is that, Pastor Creed? Because I want to obey God. Don't you? I love their confidence, number two, was placed in the Word of God. The confidence they had. They had complete trust in the Word of God. Yes, they were concentrated on the work God had for them, but they were also confident in the Word of God. It was that they conformed to the Bible, not that they were trying to get the Bible to conform to them. You with me? It wasn't that they would have this idea that they wanted to do and then try to find verses to back that up. They were indulging in themselves in the Bible and let the Bible change them. Look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Now at that moment they had a decision to make. They had a decision to make. They could either stand up for what's right. and then continue to do what God had them to do, or they could bow out. And they said, we're going to wax bold. Now, that word wax talks about their being who they were. They waxed, they were bold. They waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. Did you hear that? The word of God. The word of God. It is important. Hey, the word of God was spoken to you. Now the word of God is going to the Gentiles. And that's where our confidence is. The word of God. Not the words of men, but the word of God. What is your view of the Bible? I'm afraid many Christians today think of the Bible as a good luck charm. Boy, if I read the Bible this morning, then God's really going to bless me, and I'm going to have some good luck. If you remember, George Foreman fought Muhammad Ali. He wrote a book about his life, and he says, the book was entitled, God in My Corner. The former heavyweight boxing champion writes, in 1974, before I went to Africa to fight Muhammad Ali, a friend gave me a Bible to take along on my trip. He said, George, keep this with you for good luck. I believe the Bible was just a shepherd's handbook, probably because the only verse I knew was, the Lord is my shepherd. But I was always looking for luck, so I carried that Bible with me. I had lucky pennies and good luck charms. So now I had my lucky Bible. My collection of superstitions were complete. After I lost the fight, I threw the Bible away. I never even opened it. I thought, the Bible didn't help me win, so why do I need it? I thought I'd get power simply from owning it. But I didn't realize that I needed to read it and believe it and apply it to my life. Since then, I've come to understand that the Bible is my roadmap, not my good luck charm. And God help us. God help us with our relationship to God's Word. It's not a good luck charm. That's not what it is. It's our roadmap. God's word is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What do you think happened in Acts chapter 2 when thousands came to the Lord? They preached the word of God. What do you think happened when they went up to the porch and someone was saved? It was the power of God. They preached the word of God. Thousands were saved in the temple. What do you think happened? Since then, of thousands of people accepting Christ, the word of God was preached. What happened when Philip approached the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot? He was reading the word of God. How did he get saved? The word of God was presented to him. It's a powerful force. A powerful force. It's not just words on a paper. 15 years ago, Gaylord Kambamri, a general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe, tried to give a New Testament to every belligerent man. The man insisted he would roll the pages and use them to make cigarettes. That's not what the Bible's for either. Mr. Kambamri said, I understand, but at least promise to read the page of the New Testament before you smoke it. The man agreed and then went their separate ways. 15 years later, the two men met at a convention in Zimbabwe. The scripture-smoking pagan had been saved and was now a full-time evangelist. He told the audience, I smoked Matthew and I smoked Mark and I smoked Luke, but when I got to John 3:16, the Holy Spirit smoked me and saved my life. Amen. Let me tell you something, this is a powerful book. There is nothing that Paul and Barnabas said outside the Word of God that was powerful. There was nothing that Paul and Barnabas said outside of the Word of God that moved people to Jesus Christ. And there's nothing you can say outside the Word of God that will move Asheville into revival and to see the people of Asheville saved and come to Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Word of God. And we must believe in the power of God's Word. We must have confidence in that power. Aren't you glad God's book is more than just words on paper? I want you to grab the Bible that you have and you're holding. I want you to hold it up. It's a very powerful force. You have it in your hand. Hold it up nice and high. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being faithful. Maybe you have it on your cell phone. That's okay. That's okay. I understand that. I do that sometimes too. But I want you to know the battery never runs dead on this. The battery never runs dead on the Word of God. And hey, I use my cell phone too. And it's fine. But the Word of God is powerful, amen? The Bible is powerful. I remember traveling when we just moved to Kilmarnock, Virginia. I remember traveling to a place we were visiting, a man and his wife, and visited the church. And I was traveling, and we were riding together, and I think it was my wife and Aaliyah, and that was all. And we had a GPS there with us. How many of you use your GPS? Amen. Well, they gave me the address, and we don't use those big maps. How many remember those big maps? And we'd highlight, right? Those big maps, and yeah, used to be paper and ink. Those big. They might still have one of those in a closet somewhere. They may be worth something soon. I don't know. Now we have Google Maps, and we have the map on your phone, and you just punch it in, and it goes from your location now, and it finds the place you ought to go to. And I punched this in, and we started traveling. And we kept traveling. And we kept traveling, and I thought, you know, I thought this was only 15-minute to 20-minute drive. And we found ourselves in the middle of a cornfield. And I figured this is probably not where they're living. Couldn't see a house. And as I investigated what happened was a user error. Had nothing to do with the GPS. You know, you say, Pastor Creed, I know the Bible. I read the Bible. It's not as powerful in my life. Well, if that's the truth, then it's a user error. It's not getting me where I want to go. If that's the truth, it's a user error. Because this Bible, this is powerful. This is the guide that God gives us. This is the guide that God directs our life with. Please, I want to beg of you, do not neglect God's Word. And in fact, we need to be confident on the Word of God. When we're out knocking on doors, we have the Word of God with us in gospel form. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God with us. We can be confident in that. I don't believe it's creepy propaganda. I believe it's a power of God unto salvation. So we see the Word of God they were confident in. Pastor Creed, how do I shake it off? If people come at me and persecute me and criticize me for preaching Jesus and for presenting the gospel, for being a Christian, how can I shake that off, Pastor Creed? Concentrate on the work God has for you. Don't concentrate on their criticism. Be confident in the Word of God. It's the most powerful force that you will ever have. God's Word. But I want to look at the verse number 52, Acts chapter 13. And the disciples were filled with joy. That's hard, isn't it? Boy, when it doesn't go our way, it's difficult. How many of you have gone out door knocking or gone door to door or gone to a visit or wanted to visit with somebody and you had the conversation going one way and it didn't go that way? Isn't that frustrating? Well, Pastor Grade, what does that mean? What does it mean when it doesn't go your way? You know what that means? It's not about your way. It's not about my way. I am called to obey Christ. I'm not called to cry over the results. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, Pastor Creed, I've been soul winning before. I never had somebody saved. Well, praise God. Thank you for obeying God. Thank you for obeying God. I want to see someone saved. So do I. But the most important reason we're out there, the most important reason we're doing that is to obey God. Criticism will come. People will slam the door in your face. And by the way, it's happening more and more and more. You say, Pastor Creed, what are we going to do? It just seems like it's getting worse. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to shake it off and we're going to keep going. Why? Because we're concentrated on the work that God has us to do here at Temple Baptist Church. Why? Because we are confident in the Word of God at Temple Baptist Church. You say, Pastor Greg, that may be divisive. I know, it's a sword of the Lord. The sword divides. That's okay. We let God deal with that. We're going to continue. But then we see that they were content being filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples were filled with what? Joy and with the what? Holy Ghost. What an amazing, amazing principle this is. The ones that are crying and complaining about the results are the ones that need to learn to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit are the ones that are happy, joyful, excited. Why? Because God is using me. You know why I think they had joy? Number one, I believe they had joy because they were filled with the Spirit. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I want you to see this passage of Scripture. You know exactly where I'm going, don't you? But the fruit of the Spirit is... Amen. Love... What comes after love? Joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Let me ask you this. Galatians chapter 5, keep on turning there. Let me ask you this. What makes you happy? What brings joy to your life? Many of you are thinking of grandchildren. Many of you thinking of children. Many of you are thinking just another day on earth. Many of you are thinking of a spouse, or many of you are thinking of a new house, maybe a new car. Hey, Rocky, I'm thinking the same thing, a new gun. There's some things that bring us happiness, but I want you to understand all those things are temporary. In February or March of this year, we were able to purchase a house. Boy, were we happy, and we're still happy with the house and the buy, and we're excited about it. God has provided something great for us, and I thank the Lord for that. But I have to mow the grass. I have to weed eat. When I got back from vacation, thank you for Jeremy Jones for spending your time and helping me with this. But we had a plumbing issue. The water was just not coming out of the faucet. You say, Pastor Creed, were you happy about that house right then? No. No. For just a second, the thought crossed my mind, I wonder how much we could get for this house right now. That ever happened to you? You say, why? Things bring temporary happiness. Watch this. Circumstances bring temporary happiness. How many of you like going to parties, birthday parties, wedding parties, family reunions? They can be dangerous. But we like those. Times of fellowship. And those are useful. But you have to go home sometime, right? You have to go home. How many of you ladies enjoy a clean house? Raise your hand. Boy, you just like a clean house. Very good. Very good. Anybody looking for work, look at the ladies. They may need a maid. How many of you mothers enjoy a clean house, right? Very good. How many mothers with children would like a clean house more often? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Boy, we get that thing nice and clean and we wipe it down and the laundry is done and the dishes are done and the carpets are vacuumed and the beds are made and we open the windows and the sunlight is just beaming through the house and in comes the children. And for a short time, that circumstance makes you happy. And you have to do it all over the next week. Why? Because that's life. And in life, there are temporary happinesses, and there's nothing wrong with those temporary times of happiness. But the thing that brings you great joy is God in you. When you get saved, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 gives us the fruit of that. But the fruit of the Spirit, when you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Filling of the Holy Spirit means that the Spirit is directing you. The Spirit is in the driver's seat. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, if we look at that and we take that verse and put it in the context that we're talking about, isn't that applicable? These men were just kicked out of the city where the revival was taking place. How many of you would have turned around and said, okay, let's get the guys, let's get our guns, let's go. Let's go back to that city. Let's take the city for Christ. They're not going to do that to me. How dare they put their hands on me? I have rights. They didn't do that. But what was present was the fruit of the Spirit. And when criticism comes and persecution comes, that's when the fruit of the Spirit is manifested more. Did they show a fruit of the Spirit? What was the fruit of the Spirit they showed? Joy. In a time of persecution, there was joy. Look at verse 24, Galatians 5, 24. And they that are Christ has crucified the what? The flesh. If they were living in the flesh, they would have made a grave mistake at that moment. But they weren't. They were filled with the Spirit. You say, Pastor Creed, how are we supposed to shake this off? Criticism is going to come. Persecution is going to come. How are we going to shake it off? We're concentrating on the work of God, the work that God has us. We're confident in the Word of God. And we're content with the Holy Spirit of God. Joy with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What happens after that? I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. What happens after that? Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Does that sound like a joyful verse or what? That's why Pastor Creed gets up here in the middle of singing and disrupts Mr. Worley and throws him off. And then I tell you, hey, let's stop singing like it's a Monday, like we got to go into work this morning. Let's sing like Jesus Christ paid it all. Let's sing like there is amazing grace. Let's sing like He is coming again as we're filled with the Spirit. Thank God for the opportunity to be criticized. Thank God for the opportunity to be persecuted. There was a queen in England, Mary. They called her Bloody Mary. She persecuted and she kept on making martyrs out of Christians. She would burn them at the stake or she would hang them. Some she would chop off their head, like she did to one man, Philpot. She ordered him to come, and we're going to kill him. What was his spirit like, Pastor Creed? When he got to that chopping block, he said, I am ready. My life is the Lord's. And he bent down and he kissed that block right before he died. We are not in danger of our heads being chopped off or us being killed for our faith that I know of yet. But I want you to know this. We are still the target of criticism. And we need to shake it off. And we need to continue. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We should not fear what man can do to us. But we ought to obey God. We ought to obey God. Let's continue on the work that God has for us. And let's concentrate and focus on that. Let's be confident in the Word of God. Let's be content with being filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's shake it off and continue. If you do look at verse number 52, and the disciples were filled with the joy and the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Look at verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. What'd they do? They said, well, let's continue to go forward. You see, when we concentrate on the will of God, when we're confident in the Word of God, when we're content in the Holy Spirit of God, we're going to be moving forward in what God wants us to do. No matter what criticism comes our way, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Let's